G'day, Tim. How are you, mate?
Good. How are you doing?
Very, very well. It's been a very long time since we've spoken. Last time was actually in studio here in Melbourne, and I've just got to catch up on what's been going on. You been well?
I've been well, yeah. It's been way too long. It's been years since we've been down there. Too many things went wrong, and we didn't make our way down there. But we're looking forward to making that right finally this year.
Yeah, that's what we like to hear. Now, I listened to the album again yesterday, and the Twitter sphere went off when I said I was listening to your brand new album. A lot of Australian fans were hitting me up asking, you know, what's it like, trying to get a bit of a sneak peek, and I didn't want to give too much away because I want people to experience it for themselves. All I could say was, you'll be pleased, you know? You can't give too much away.
That's good, yeah. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
You don't want to give too much away. So it's 12 songs, and each one is a little bit different, and so I feel like people are going to get, you know, little pieces of the puzzle as the next few weeks unfold. But, I'm curious to hear what people think as well.
We'll go through a few of the songs here that particularly struck a nerve with me, but before we get to that, did you approach the writing of this album different to the last, or are there any rules to when you guys write an album, or is that just too prohibitive?
There really are no rules, and not because it's, like, too prohibitive. We just go at writing music and being a band, here now in 2014, the same way that we all did when we were like 15 years old and playing guitars and drums in our parents' basement. You know what I mean? Which is no plan at all. It's no strategy at all. It's just, you just get in a room and you plug in your instruments, and once everything's working, you look at each other and you go, all right, here's a riff, here's a part, you know, here's a song. And then we just make it. And even now, you know, we're grown men doing this for a living, but that's exactly the same way we do it. It's kind of our strategy is a lack of strategy, which kind of keeps it kind of organic, I guess.
Yeah, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, amen.
Now, the title track of the album, The Black Market, it's an absolute belter, The Time Changes. And that's something that I noticed is fairly prevalent on this album. There's a lot of time changes, and it keeps you guessing. And I like that.
Yeah, we've always, The Time Changes or something that we've definitely, it makes Brandon's life, our drummer's life, more interesting. He's always kind of like, oh, great, now I got to keep this together. But, like, it's something that we've never shied away from. I've never written a song to a metronome. You know, kind of, I've always written stuff where, like, well, this feels like it should go faster, this feels like it should go slower, you know. Mm. Some of our bigger singles, like Prayer of the Refugee, you know, like, mm-hmm. the verse is slow, and then the chorus ramps up, and same with Good Left Undone. That's something that, like, we get away with because we're committed to it. And then we also have Bill Stevenson from Black Flag and Descendants, who was our producer. And he's the guy who's not afraid of those kind of time changes, too. I remember we toured with the Foo Fighters last year, and Dave Grohl, you know, he knows our producer, Bill, and he was telling us, he's like, I can always tell when it's you guys on the radio, and I can always tell when it's Bill Stevenson who produced it, because you guys have these time changes in there that only Bill can kind of produce in a way that makes it kind of seamless.
You know, it's funny. One of my questions I wanted to ask you, just because it's been a while since we last spoke, was have you kind of run into any of your musical heroes along the way since we last spoke? And I imagine that your very own producer would kind of be one of them, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's a hero and such a special person. And so cool that he's become like a friend, you know, and family. You know, he's a guy that I go to him to work and create music, and then in the off season I go out to him and we get our families together, and like we vacation together and hang out, you know. And it's really cool to like pick a guy's brain like that, who was really there as punk was being born, you know. It's easy to like kind of like lose sight of the fact that he's an iconic individual who was there in Black Flag and Descendants, not just an amazing drummer, but also an amazing songwriter. I think people forget that Bill wrote most of the Descendants songs and lyrics. He's an amazing producer as well. He's a really talented and still a very humble person, but he's also kind of like my guru, or like a mentor of sorts.
I was going to say, is he like a Yoda?
He really is like a Yoda. He's got a few hundred pounds on Yoda, but he's definitely like a Yoda. And he's good for kind of like life lessons. You know, he's an interesting like big brother / like father figure, you know, for me. So he's been at a lot of the crossroads that I'm only getting at now. And so he's, his advice is something I take really seriously, and I take his criticism really seriously. He's one of the only people in the world that I run my lyrics by, and I say, Bill, he's good enough, you know. And when he says something, I really listen to it, and I take it to heart.
Speaking of your lyrics, do you feel almost like a bit of a responsibility now to deliver a certain kind of song, or is this a very natural process to you? Because Rise Against always been that political thing, always spoke in your mind, always try to tap into what people are thinking. But do you feel responsible now?
It's funny you say that, because it's kind of what the black market is about. It's about, you know, going into the seventh record. And at some point I did feel that responsibility where it's like, wait, people are expecting me to write a certain kind of song, like whether it's the fans or just people in general. Like I almost had this responsibility to write this kind of song, and I felt kind of boxed in. You know, I felt like, what if I don't want to write that kind of song? Mm. I mean, what if I want to write something different? And like, and what has been my life writing that kind of song for the last like 15 years? You know, like who are we, and what do we do, and where do we fit in people's lives? And as I was kind of reflecting on that, that whole concept of like being a band or an artist that kind of traffics in emotion, you know, and that kind of churns up the waters to like creative music. It's artists often go to dark places to create their best art. That's something that I guess we've been doing, and I've been doing as a songwriter. And it's a weird, twisted place to be in when the thing that you create, the endeavor that you're a part of, is oftentimes something that is born in angst and sadness and all kinds of emotion. And that's kind of where the black market concept came from, because it was like this, almost like this marketplace of emotion. That's what we're doing. We're showing up to your town, and we're singing these songs straight from our heart, and we're hoping to connect with you on these different issues. You know, and that's what Rise Against is. And so, yeah, it was a lot of this record. We, you know, Rise Against spent a lot of time looking outward, and this record kind of looks inward a little more.
Mm. Is it difficult to disengage from the writing when you're building an album like this? Because I'm, like you said, you go to that dark place. So can you escape that, or do you get sucked right in?
On this one, I got sucked in. I feel like in the past, I've been a lot more limber, and I can get out of it. Mm. You know, I kind of walk away unscathed from it. In fact, it's a very cathartic and therapeutic process for me to get this stuff off my chest. And on this one, I felt like the waters of my life have been very calm for a while, mm-hmm. you know? And so to go into doing a record, the only way I know how to make a record is to churn those waters up and muddy them a little bit and get them a little dirty, mm-hmm. you know? And that was something that was a little harder to walk away from. I was really getting lost in the songs, you know? I was just talking to Jill the other day, and we were just reflecting on the studio process, and he's like, man, there were days that I wouldn't even see you. And I was like, shit, I don't even remember not that. You know what I mean? I don't remember, like, nobody's right. Like, there were days that I wasn't even coming into the studio where I was just, like, trying to get these songs out, but also trying to write things that were hopefully something, like, new and not just, like, the same ideas over and over, you know, but something, like, that is, you know, 2014 Rise Against and adding to the conversation. And then, obviously, you know, I'm talking about a lot of, like, a different angle of songs, but we still have there's still a couple big political statements on this record too, and I guess that's just kind of, I can't help but write that stuff. That stuff is just like, it sits on my chest, and I have to get it off, and then a lot of the songs come from there.
Now, it's interesting that you said that, you know, a 2014 Rise Against, one of the songs on the album, People Live Here, it starts like an almost Irish folk song. And the more I listen to it, because it's just you and guitar at the start, I actually listen to the lyrics closely. It's a pretty powerful song.
Thank you. And that's one of the things I've always loved about acoustic songs, is they're kind of, like, for me, they're this vehicle to put a sugar coating around a bitter pill, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean? Absolutely.
I have a penchant for melody and hooks and, you know, big choruses and that kind of thing. I love that kind of music. But I also like being able to then lace those songs with something that has a little more substance. That's kind of where our song Hero of War came from. You know, as I was writing that one, I'm like, oh, this is a really, you know, simple but hooky song. And then, you know, I want to make this song. People at that point were kind of pressuring me to do like a second Swing Life Away, you know, like another acoustic song.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I'll do another acoustic song, but I want to do it on my own terms. And then we did the song Hero of War, which was a really sad story about a soldier.